There's a lot to be thankful for at this time of year. Just even think in the past couple days, the beautiful weather we've had. The sun's been shining, it's been warm again. After a long, dry summer, there's been rains. At this time of year, people remember harvest time as the crops come in. Sometimes we're a bit removed from that because everything we get comes from the grocery store shelves. Perhaps in this valley we see a bit more clearly with the tractors going and the harvest coming in and the fruit becoming ripe and buying it from the stands rather than from the store. So many different things that we can be thankful for living here. But at the same time, there have been other things. It's very hard when the debt on the farm, which is always growing and going up and down, you've got to balance the millions of dollars of investment in the land and the homes and the machinery and the workers and the animals. You got to balance all those things. But how do you do it when the rain just doesn't come? And you wonder if the crop yield's going to be big enough to pay the debt and keep the farm going again another year. We've been given a lot of blessings. The beauty of nature here in British Columbia. The trees, the lakes, beautiful land and weather. Some of us even have vacation homes in some beautiful parts of this supernaturally beautiful, as the slogan goes, British Columbia. But what do you do when the fire comes and burns it all? When you're separated from your friends and your loved ones, though previously they were just a few hours' drive away, but now the fires are jumping across the roads and devouring homes and boats and cottages. How are you thankful for those things? How can we be thankful for those things? Wouldn't it seem that you should be thankful for the things that are good and not thankful for the things that are bad? Doesn't that seem to make sense? How can you be thankful when a loved one dies? How can you be thankful when the doctor tells you it's cancer? How can you be thankful when you're alone? How can you be thankful when you don't know if you're going to have a job or you don't know you're going to have a home? Does that make sense? Well, to you and to I and to our national reasoning, no, it doesn't make sense. But to God it does. And that's why it's such a blessed thing. He's given us a great command. A great command. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we read, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God." What a thing. In the midst of the disease, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the loss, as well as in the midst of the blessing and the enjoyment, and the harvest and the sunshine, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And this is not just one verse. This is a theme throughout all of Scripture. Job, in the early chapters of the book that bears his name, can say, "Will we not accept good as well as evil from the Lord?" And just to give you one other example, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a theme we could develop all throughout Scripture, that we need to be thankful for everything. Even the bad stuff, even the hard stuff, not just the great and the blessed stuff. But that leaves us with a very serious question. How do you do that? How do you do that? To our own natural minds, it doesn't even make sense. We need a special help, care, and direction from the Lord, a special command to do it. But then how? It's been a beautiful recognition of the character of our God as he reflected on the scriptures. St. Augustine said so many years ago, as he understood the gracious and sovereign character of God and our dependence on him as creatures, he said, "Lord, command what thou wilt, and grant what thou dost command." And so our Lord does here too. In verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's a blessed command that has with it its very own supply. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We hope to consider on this Thanksgiving morning that we should give thanksgiving at all times, not just in the good and in the bad, to God, because he commands it and he supplies what he commands in our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the other examples I gave you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says basically the same thing. "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The ability to give thanks in the midst of everything, from bullies at school to broken toys to lost loved ones, is in Christ. And we find that very clearly here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. But we also see something very helpful in the surrounding context. You see, giving thanks in everything is possible by the grace of God for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be aware of what accompanies that marvelous grace that he gives in Christ and this glorious command. Please look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Notice how it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." It's very striking. Those three things fit together very well. Rejoicing evermore, always. Praying constantly, always, without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. And as it were, in all things, at all times, give thanks. Now you will find certain Greek scholars who say it's obvious that verses 16, 17, and 18, the commands to rejoice, the commands to pray, and the commands to give thanks, all rest on the reason given at the end of verse 18. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks, all rest, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It gives the foundation for all three things, some Greek scholars say. Other Greek scholars say it's rather obvious that it's just verse 18. Because clearly, if you're going to focus on "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," clearly if he wanted to include more, he would have somehow structured it differently. It would have been emphasized in the particular aspects of the rejoicing and the prayer. And what about the sections then that follow? "Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, abstain from all appearance of evil." Wouldn't they need to be grounded on that as well? Congregation, I am no Greek scholar. Both have said it's very obvious, but it certainly makes sense practically. And I hope you found in your own Christian experience as well that being prayerful regularly and rejoicing and being happy regularly certainly makes a difference in everything, being able to give thanks. Whether we think of it in the terms of the Greek argument, which might not be sound to do, but if we think of it in the terms of the simple development of the themes, which the words themselves lead us to, and if we think of it in the context of the believer's own experience, it's very helpful to be aware of what is around and what accompanies, as it were, this glorious command and the sufficiency of this command to give thanks in Christ Jesus. There's tremendous help in remembering. If you're going to be thankful, you need to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. There are times we struggle with thankful hearts. There are times we battle against the flesh and our hearts are hard and we're not thankful. We can tend to be bitter, even self-righteous. In that frame of mind and heart, how can one be thankful? But if by the grace of God, we see in this need to be thankfulness, in this divine appointment from our Lord, that it needs to be preceded, as it were, and surrounded with the context of rejoicing evermore. Think of that. Rejoicing evermore. Always, always remembering the good things God has given you and praising Him for them. Always praising Him and having joy in what He's given. That focuses our minds and our hearts aright for thanksgiving. To be rejoicing in every good gift, remembering it comes down from the Father of lights. Being happy with every breath we take, though it be filled with pain, because we know we don't deserve it and we know He will bring good from it somehow. We'll consider these themes a bit further in the course of our message. But to be rejoicing always. If we have a sovereign God who is able to do all things and has promised to provide everything for Jesus' sake, we ought to be happy because we know He will take care of us, rejoicing evermore. And coming along with it, we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying constantly, without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to not live and always have your hands folded and your eyes closed. How could you wash your clothes if you kept your hands folded and your eyes closed all the time? How could you drive your tractor if you had your hands folded and your eyes closed all the time? How could you take care of your children? How could you minister to the needs of your spouse if you didn't stop and listen to them and focus on them for a time? It would be impossible. What this verse gets at is that we, throughout our day, constantly live and think and act in a communicative relationship with God. That we are telling Him what we think, how we feel, asking Him for His help, seeking His guidance through the day in every situation constantly. That He be the first thing we think of when we get up. That He be the last thing we think of when we go to bed. That when blessed things happen, we thank Him. And when difficult things happen, we thank Him and ask Him for help. To be constantly at prayer. Another beautiful reminder that comes along with prayer, that leads and encourages thankfulness, is you remember who you're talking to. When we come to God rightly in prayer, as the Lord Jesus taught us to, how and to whom are we praying? How does that famous prayer the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, boys and girls, how does that Lord's Prayer begin? Our Father. Our Father. You're talking to your Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. The one who gives every good gift. The one who is so much more gracious and righteous and loving than we are. You think of the most loving person in your life who has sacrificed the most for you. Your mother, your father, maybe your grandmother, maybe a very good friend or a spouse. Their love is but a dull bulb compared to the radiant love of our Heavenly Father, like the light of the sun, that we go to our Father. And just boys and girls, like you ask your Father, you know they not only love you, but your Father can do something about it. Your dad will fix the broken toy. Your dad will go to the store and pay for the groceries. Your dad will take care of it. When we pray constantly in fellowship with God, knowing He hears us, and we give our cares and concerns to Him, and we remember His character as a loving Heavenly Father, there is tremendous reason to always, always give thanks, even in the midst of those times in which it is so difficult. Or to put it to you another way, by always rejoicing and praying without ceasing, we remember who our God is and what and with whom, rather, we deal, even in the most difficult of circumstances. That makes remembering it is the will of God, secondly, a tremendous blessing as well. Rejoicing in prayer, those things that accompany this command direct us back to the character of our God. But it also highlights for us the importance of remembering this is what our God wants. It is quite simply a divine command. It is not an optional thing. In everything, give thanks. Not in some things, not in the things you want, in everything. In the fire, in the cancer, in the bad harvest, in the loss of the job, in the death of the loved one. It's not an option. If somebody who you knew didn't understand, if someone who you knew didn't love you, if someone who you knew didn't care about you, you'd be tempted to say, be quiet and go away. But when it's someone who loves you, someone who's promised to help you and sacrificed the life of His very own Son to help you, and has promised you that you would know it's good for you, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? But it's not only a divine command. He provides what is necessary for you and for I. If we put our faith, or I should say for you and for me, if we would put our faith in the Lord to be able to keep this divine command. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is His will, not just barely, as it were, a law that must be obeyed, as if somehow, though it would be right and fair if God were to do so, He would say, muster it up in yourself. Grab your bootstraps and do what you know you need to do. That's not the character of God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He is a God of love. He is a God of justice, but He is a God of justice that has satisfied His own justice in Jesus Christ. So when He is a loving Heavenly Father, tells us to pray and to be happy and tells us to be thankful in every circumstance, He provides for us the very way we would do it in His Son. In His Son. That is the key. That is the key, that we are being thankful, that we are being thankful in Christ Jesus, that this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. As one of our forefathers from Scotland summarized this glorious verse, explaining how it is so that this can be for us, he says, to thank God at all times is to see God working in every situation to bring about the divine saving will. To thank God at all times is to see God working in every situation to bring about the divine saving will. In other words, you, by the grace of God and the discipline of faith, don't look at simply your pain. Don't look at simply your circumstances. Don't look at simply your struggles. But by the grace of God, you take hold of the promises of God. And like the character of your loving and gracious Heavenly Father, you take hold of the plans of the character of your loving and gracious Heavenly Father. You take hold of texts like Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, you can thank God not because you enjoy the pain, not because you are uncertain, not because it is so difficult, but you thank God in the midst of what it is, that though it be painful, though things are uncertain from your perspective, though for you they be difficult, that they are a part of His wise, good plan, and He will work it for good. Is that not when you find, and there's no accident, Philippians chapter 4 talks about the peace of God that transcends all understanding when we do what? When we pray with thanksgiving always. It's a beautiful parallel, again confirmed in Scripture, that when we follow the teachings of the greater than Solomon and do not lean on our own understandings, when we follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and put on humility, and we have His mind, and we bend our wills and our desires to a loving Heavenly Father, and like a child, we say, I don't understand how this is going to work, but my dad will take care of it. We can do that. By the grace of God, we do that for Jesus' sake, remembering that He is the supply of our strength, remembering the character of our Heavenly Father, remembering the plan of our Heavenly Father, and remembering you are not doing this yourself. Or as Paul has put it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we find that keen insight of one of our Scottish forefathers confirmed, to thank God at all times is to see God working in every situation to bring about the divine saving will, working all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to their purpose, finding their strength not in themselves, but in Christ, knowing I can do all things through Christ, which will strengthen me. And thus again, we find confirmed the extreme wisdom of God at this command, which humbles us and strengthens us at the same time, which, like the Lord Jesus did so well, brings us low and lifts us up in one motion, takes us away from a hard heart and a prideful heart and a thankless heart, thinking there is something in ourselves, but rather encouraging us in Him. And though we see we in ourselves are nothing, we see in Him we have everything. That in everything we give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In this command, there is not only a glorious sufficiency provided with it, but we remember that we're not alone in it either. You see, it's very tempting to be thankless when you think you're alone. Depression, the frustration, the anger, sometimes even the self-pity isolates us. Child of God can feel isolated from others. In their darkest of times, they even feel isolated from God. They feel alone. They feel they need to vindicate themselves. But here, there is not only a reminder of God's character, there is not only a reminder of God's great plan, there is not only a reminder of the source of our strength, but that we are called to be thankful in Christ together. Together. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the King James Bible, you is plural, more than one. In the way we use it in our contemporary language, I can look at one person and say, you and me. But in the King James pronouns, they'd say, and forgive my misconjugation, thee and me, or thou, or thy as possessive. Singular, one. In the older language, it's plural, many, you, ye, your. Here, it's not simply an isolationistic command that I would be giving thanks in every situation, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's that we do it together. We do it together. And it's a tremendous reminder, we are not alone. We are not alone in the problems of our indwelling sin. We are not alone in our times of weakness and sadness. We are not alone in the times of mourning and sorrow. We are not alone in the times of our fears. We may not all have had the same diseases. We may not all have lost the same loved ones. We may not have all undergone the same traumas. But we are in it together. Just as much as the hand is part of a body as the foot or the leg or the stomach, we are in it together. And we need to remember that. There's a reason Paul elsewhere in Galatians says to bear one another's burdens in prayer, to remember each other, to encourage each other, to pray for one another, to help each other. Just like when you hurt your eye, what's one of the first things you do, even without thinking about it? Up goes your hand. Your hand wants to help your eye. You stub your toe, and what's the first thing you do? Your knee lifts up your foot, and you hop around until you can sit down. And your leg muscles, and your knee, and your bottom all work together to help your toe. We can help one another with this great command. We all struggle from the same battle against the flesh as children of God. We all need the same help, reminding one another of what great reason we have to rejoice. Because some of us see it when other ones of us don't. We can help one another in praying without ceasing, as we pray for each other and make notes that when someone tells us they have a prayer need, we pray for them at our dinner table. We pray for them when we go to bed at night. We pray for them throughout the day, whether during our coffee breaks at work or whether we have long hours in the tractor and harvest season. We can find help in rejoicing, help in prayer. So in everything, we can give thanks together. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, our help and our supply. Not just for me, not just for thee, but for you and for us. This is how we can give thanks in everything, remembering what accompanies this thanksgiving, remembering that indeed this is God's will for us. We have that full supply of all that we need in His great character, in His glorious plan, and in the work of His dear Son. But you'll notice, all that we've considered in thanksgiving has been for children of God. For Christians who call upon the name of God, for sinners who need help and are struggling against their own sin, for people who would be crushed by this amazing command if it were not for the fact that it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning them. If you are not in Christ Jesus, if you have no need for God, if you have no need for the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, think about your situation and your life for a moment. Maybe you're here because, well, yeah, I have a lot to be thankful for. I got the new car, got the big tractor, got the pool, got my wife, got my kids, got my money, got my job. Maybe you have a sense even of the fact, you know, I really have so much more than I deserve, and I should be thankful. Maybe even put a little more money in the Thanksgiving offering. But if you have those things, those, as it were, good gifts and blessings from God, and you are still daring his justice by not repenting, if you still refuse to be sorry for your sins and that you have offended his honor, you know what all those quote-unquote good things and great blessings you have will be? And this is the true tragedy of your situation. Those very gifts for which you are thankful will curse you on the day of judgment. Because God gave them to you to show you the type of God he is, how gracious and how loving, how patient and how careful. To use the language of Scripture, how long-suffering he is with you. And you would dare ignore your own offense to him. And you would dare be thankful for what some would call the gifts of common grace or the blessings of common providence, while you despise the greatest gift anyone could ever have. Think about that. Even on an earthly level, how often and with great angst of heart do not people pray at times to have a child? What a blessing it is when someone knows they cannot take care of that child and they put a child up for adoption. The blessed part is this. And a couple who could not have a family receives a family. And what was a struggle for someone else becomes the blessing for you as you now have a child. Someone were to give a child to someone else so they could have a family, what a blessed thing. Do you know what people would sacrifice for that? And now God gives his son to pay the price for sin so you would not be alone, so you would have hope and strength, so you would know all the blessings of his great care, love, and power. So you need not die. But you would decide to say, no thanks, I'll be content with the things of this world. I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want your son. What a rejection that is. All the good gifts we've been blessed with. Remember how we began our service? We live in beautiful British Columbia. We have the sunshine. We have the glorious benefits of living in the shadow of the mountains and the beauties of the lakes. We live in a prosperous valley. But what will it all mean in the end? It's even meaningless now if you stop and think about it. But all these things are glorious. They are great. They are marvelous, not in themselves, but because they lead us to our Lord Jesus. If you think outward things of this world are enough to thank God, imagine what it would be to thank God for Christ, for saving your life, for standing in awe of the greatest gift that has ever been given, the life of the Son of God for sinners who are lost. These things which we give thanks for so easily, don't not let them be curses, rather let them be blessings. Turn to him in repentance and faith. So this is the very means by which, as we've been considering, he works that very faith by pricking your conscience and revealing, beginning to reveal to you your own sinful heart. Congregation, we have much to be thankful for. We can even be thankful for a command that would be impossible, except for it were the marvelous accompanying graces of rejoicing and praying, as it highlights to us the character of our God. And above all, we have a reason to give thanks in the most difficult of situations, remembering God's great plan of salvation and his glory and his kingdom, because this concerns us. We have the marvelous strength, not just of one another, but so much more the marvelous strength of Christ himself, which strengthens us by his Spirit. If we would give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, let us not forget to give thanks for he who is the greatest of gifts, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day of thanksgiving, and we thank thee for the work of thy Son, and we thank thee that out of the fullness and riches of him, we, Lord, can give thanks in whatever circumstance thou wilt lead us to. Help us, Lord, to be hands and feet to one another, praying for one another in the midst of our struggles, and always remembering the glory, the grace, so that we would rejoice evermore before thee. Heavenly Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.